This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word and to receive the Word that He would ultimately share with us, to take out with us, to apply this week, just a couple things. I'd like to encourage you to go ahead and reach for your worship bulletin once again. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion of your bulletin. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. I trust the Lord will lay something on your heart that He wants you to take out with you this week. If you need something to write with, go ahead and raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get a pen into your hand. Another thing there is take-home reflections. This week, what I'd like to encourage you to do is to meditate upon this word that God would share with us today. So my prayer is that these take-home reflections and considerations will help support and reinforce the word that God will ultimately share with you and me this morning. With that said, and at this time, what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite you to turn your attention to the screens up front for today's introductory sermon video. Let's take a look.
Almost everywhere Jesus went, huge crowds came to see and hear him. One time, he began teaching by a lake. The crowd became so big that he actually had to speak from a boat out in the water. Jesus often told stories, called parables, about everyday life that were symbolic of who God was and what it meant to live in God's ways. Jesus also performed many miracles everywhere he went. He healed sick people and even raised some from the dead. He could also control the weather. One time, when Jesus and his followers were in a boat on a lake, a huge storm came in and the boat began to fill with water. Despite the storm blowing the boat around, Jesus was asleep. Panicked, his followers woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the storm was gone. Many people were amazed at the miracles Jesus performed, but the religious leaders, called Pharisees, started to question where Jesus got his power from. At one point, they even accused him of getting power from the devil. King Herod was also fearful of Jesus. A short time earlier, Herod had thrown John the Baptist in jail. He wanted to kill John, but knew that he was a holy man and feared what might happen if he did. Then one day, Herod's daughter was dancing and entertaining Herod's guests at a banquet. Herod was pleased with her and told her she could have anything she requested. Herod's wife stepped in, telling their daughter that she should request the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Herod was fearful, but what could he do? He had promised to give his daughter what she requested, and so he had John beheaded. And the executioners brought his head into the banquet. As Jesus' fame grew, King Herod began to worry that Jesus would bring John back from the dead. Even Jesus' followers began to have second thoughts about him. But his 12 closest followers stuck by Jesus for what was sure to be tough times ahead.
The storm of my life, it looked like this. Growing up in rural Nebraska, we were in one of these areas that seemed to be pummeled and hit by severe thunderstorms. But not just thunderstorms, the ones that are accompanied by these big whirling cyclones known as tornadoes. For those of you who have lived through a thunderstorm or maybe even a tornado storm, I think you can appreciate the sense of anxiety and fear and stress that comes with a storm such as that. The storm of my life happened like this. In the mid-90s, our family was back on our family farm with the exception of my sister, who happened to be playing softball in Columbus, Nebraska, some 10, 11 miles away. And all of a sudden, the sky started to turn that color, and you've seen that color, an off yellow, green, orange. The wind picked up. The animals on the farm started to get a little tense. The farmers themselves got a little tense. The warning went off on the weather radio. The little scrolling ribbon at the bottom of the screen of the television said, if you're near a window, get away. If you have a basement, get in it. If you don't have one, get to the inside of your house. The situation continued to intensify. The wind picked up, things started to rattle and shake, and yet my sister was still not home. Eventually, far too long later, my sister arrived home. And on our way down to the basement, it hit, the tornado. And it rocked our family farm. Coming back up from the basement, it was a horrific sight to see. Pink insulation everywhere, tin wrapped around trees, stuck through things, animals missing, barns moved back and forth, roofs not where roofs should be. The storm of my life looked like that. This morning I have a question for you. How would you finish that statement up front? The storm of my life, it looked like this. This morning, if we were to approach Jesus' disciples and to lift this statement before them, I can't help but wonder how they would respond. Thinking back to our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 4, I think we get a little bit of what their answer might look like. The storm of my life, it looked like this. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. How many fishermen do we have in the sanctuary this morning? Raise your hands. Okay, fishermen, fisherwomen, sorry. Yeah? How many boating, sailing enthusiasts? Yeah? I know what you're thinking. Come on, Pastor Seth, I'm in Indiana. Come on. Okay, fair enough. How many of you have been on the water and you found yourself at the receiving end of a situation you didn't like? How many of you experienced wind and rain and a boat that's rocking back and forth? Yeah? How many of you managed to stay in the boat? How many of you managed to keep your breakfast inside self? Yeah? Years ago, I had the opportunity to serve a congregation on the near the Chesapeake Bay, southern Maryland, south of D.C., and one of the members of the congregation took me out rockfish fishing for the day, and to him, it was no big deal. It was a little choppy, in his words, but in mine, land looks pretty good. These are fishermen. They've been on the water. They've seen wind. They've seen rain, they've seen storms, but not like this. This is different. The storm of their life looked like a life-threatening situation that offered no hope. The storm of my life looked like this. A moment ago, I asked you how you would finish that statement. And I can't help but wonder this morning if some of you, when you saw that statement, your mind went to some kind of meteorological storm, or maybe to a different kind of storm. Maybe a financial storm, where you found yourself having to live from paycheck to paycheck and you were wondering how the food was going to come back home. Maybe it was relational. Conversation got a little rocky, a little windy recently. Maybe it was vocational. God, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I lost my job. I have bills to pay. I don't know what to do. Maybe the storm for you was physical. Maybe it was health-related. The storm of my life came in the form of news from the mouth of the doctor to my ears, to my heart, to my gut. What has the storm of your life looked like for you? Maybe you're there this morning. It's in these moments, friends, that God speaks loud and clear with a word of grace, with a word of peace, with a word of hope. St. Mark does not want us to lose sight of what else is in the storm with us. Who else is in the storm with us? Who else is in the boat? So the situation turns from the storm of my life looks like this to the Savior of my life looks like this. And if we were to approach these disciples, these shaking fishermen who have seen storms before but not like this, the answer would look something like this. The Savior of my life, he looked like this. He got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. This is Jesus. This is the one who's in the storm with you. This is the one who willingly gets into the boat with you, for you, because he loves you. As we think about storms, let me share with you another storm in my life, a storm in your life. It's called sin. And God in his word tells us that this is a storm that we enter into from the moment we're born. King David in Psalm 51 shares this with us. "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." I don't see that when I visit families shortly after they've given birth. You know, I walk into the nursery part of the hospital. I don't see that as one of the banner statements. Born into sin, it doesn't bring people in, but yet it's what we struggle with. It's the storm of your life and my life, and the stuff that accompanies it. You know it just like I do: suffering, brokenness, pain, separation from God, if left untreated, proves fatal, eternally fatal. The storm of my life is sin, death, and the devil. And yet this is where God's word speaks to you and to me this morning in the strength of a promise, a gospel promise to you and to me. With your Savior and mine who looks like this. The one who enters into the biggest storm, the biggest battle of your life and mine, goes to the cross, gives up his life for you and for me so that you and I are brought into a right relationship with God, so that you and I receive grace, mercy, forgiveness, and a reminder that no matter what your storm is, no matter what you're going through, there is no limit to what Jesus Christ will do for you and for me in the strength of a relationship. The Savior of my life, he looks like this. The one who meets me in my storms, even when I don't know how to ask. Today as we leave, I'd like to challenge you. I'd like to challenge you to look for those people in your life who you know are weathering a storm at this very moment. Maybe for you that's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a classmate or a teacher or a friend. Maybe it's someone you're sitting next to today. Maybe it's someone in your own household. Who do you know that's currently weathering a storm that needs to be reminded that God and his grace is right there? This week, I pray that as we leave, we're able to take with us a reflection of the Savior who meets us in our storms and stands with us and says these words, "Peace, be still." May God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. This time in our service, I invite you to stand as we continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under